You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. This week we're exploring the notion of debt in America, and we're looking for your advice. How did you get out of debt, stay out of debt?
Robbie does now, Pawnee, Oklahoma. My daughter just graduated from college a couple of years ago. No debt because, large part, money my father left me because he belonged to the Communication Workers of America. Unions work.
What's the most creative way that you've managed to lower your debt or get rid of debt altogether? Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. John?
The question of poverty in America is one that has persisted since the 1960s when Lyndon Johnson declared a war on poverty, a war that some say is stalled on the battlefield. But today, people slipping into poverty at a time of broad economic downturn is certainly a lonely, lonely feeling, the feeling of Janie Larson, who's just lost her home in Columbus, Ohio.
I will have 15 to 20 days to remove my belongings or they'll lock the doors. So I'm looking for a place to move to. I haven't moved in 38 years, so I am terrified.
The terror of being part of the working poor in America. It's perhaps at the top of the list of America's briefing book for the new president, Barack Obama, who has pledged to deal with poverty in a more aggressive way since at any time since the war on poverty was declared by Lyndon Johnson back in the 1960s. If we were to add a page to America's briefing book this morning on poverty, we could do no better than to talk to David Shipler, who's the author of The Working Poor, Invisible in America, a former New York Times reporter. David Shipler, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Explain, first of all, who the working poor are and how is it a different population from what Lyndon Johnson observed back in the mid-60s?
I don't know that it is different. Working poor are people who do work, but at very low wages that put them below the poverty line, or if they're above it, they're not far enough above it to make any difference in their living standards. You know, most poor families in the United States are headed by single adults, and most of them are women. So essentially, they have one wage earner, and if they're earning anything less, if they have three children, for example, and they're earning anything less than $10 plus an hour, they're below the poverty line.
And according to the U.S. Census, it's 37.3 million people in America living in poverty, and 700,000 children went hungry in America at some point in 2007. When the war on poverty was declared in the 1960s, a broad set of programs reduced the poverty rate from 23% down to 13% in only 5 years. Can Barack Obama expect to accomplish something like that with any program that's envisioned so far?
I think there are possibilities, and in a way, the economic crisis presents an opportunity. If the Congress is willing and if Obama is willing to think big, it seems to me that major government spending, and of course it would have to be deficit spending at this point, you don't raise taxes in the middle of a severe recession, that would, for example, pour money into improving and creating infrastructure and at the same time upgrading skills of people who then could work in many of these projects. I mean, one of the huge problems the United States has is not just an income disparity, but a disparity in skills where many people just don't have the ability to work in jobs that provide decent wages or an improvement in their wages. I mean, that's the main thing, that you get into an entry-level job and you're stuck there and you can't advance. So there needs to be extensive vocational training, job training, and government money into private organizations that do this kind of work would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had a real turndown in the last 8 years of housing subsidies. And housing turns out to be a key link in a chain reaction of problems for families in poverty. You know, poverty isn't just a problem. It's a whole constellation of problems that magnify one another. So poor housing has tremendous impacts in many respects. You mentioned hunger. One of the problems is that families that don't have any housing subsidies from government that are on the the private market, if they're working at low wages, can end up paying 50 to 70% of their income for rent. And rent isn't something you can avoid. You've got to write that check every month. You've got to pay, make the car payment if you have to have a car to get to work. The part of the budget that can be squeezed is for food. And studies have shown that there's a high correlation between families without housing subsidies and underweight children. And then, of course, you can go on and look at the results of that. I mean, malnutrition in the first 2 to 3 years of a child's life, when brain development is critical, can create lifelong cognitive impairment, which in turn
So you're really describing a cascading domino of problems that are interrelated. But one thing that I'd like you to talk a little bit about is how important it is for the government first to figure out how the bureaucracy works. You talk about turf wars, and in order to implement any of the programs to address the issues you just listed, you talk about how important it is for the government to get its own house in order first.
Well, I think, I don't know if it's first, but along the way, certainly one of the problems we see is the balkanization of funding, so that you get the different kinds of programs overlapping or leaving gaps between them, different agencies responsible for different kinds of programs. And the trouble with that is that what we really need are gateways through which poverty or people in poverty can walk to get multiple services.
And those were the kinds of things that Johnson managed to accomplish in the 60s. Very quickly, are you optimistic about Barack Obama?
Yes, I am. I think he understands this from his days of community organizing. I think he's beginning to put together a good team. And because we have this economic crisis, I think he has a good rationale and excuse to think big and take major action.
Well, we will see on day one. David Shipler, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
David Shipler is the author of The Working Poor, Invisible in America, as part of America's briefing book for the new president, Barack Obama. Now, Mark Garrison has some headlines for us.
Thank you. 28 minutes after the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.